Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I watched the second half of Ghostbusters Afterlife.
And this is the other half.
Sequel Month! Hey, Ethan, do you like the Ghostbusters movies?
They're okay. They're all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. The first one I watched with you pretty recently.
Yeah.
And we're both just kind of like, I don't know if this is as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
I don't know. If something about the humor didn't hit me, like, I remember liking it a lot as a kid. I watched the shit out of it, and I was like, this is cool.
I feel like as a kid, you really like it for the ghosts.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere. But I feel like there you go. The perviness of like Bill Murray's character really sort of like soars over your head. And watching it again, I was just like, even when I was a kid, I was like, I don't like this guy. He feels like a bully to me.
Like, he's also like not, his humor was very dry, which is like funny now as an adult, I guess.
As a kid.
Like as a kid, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I agree with you that his humor is like dry, but I kind of like, I like that kind of humor. Like,
I do too.
I feel like that works really well in the original movie. Watching it again, I'm like, I don't like his character, but I do like a lot of the humor that's being like, that like, it all feels very grounded and real. I don't know if you watched the new Ghostbusters movie, not the one we saw, but the other one.
Oh, yeah. So I've seen the second one a long time ago, and then I watched the third one when it was in theaters.
Yeah.
I remember liking it. I thought it was okay. Yeah.
I liked aspects of it, but I really fucking hated. I don't like the act. I don't like the director. I really think.
Oh, really?
I hate. Like, I can't remember.
What was the director's name? I don't even remember. I remember
was it
nothing
Paul
about the.
Feige.
Oh.
Paul Feig.
Is that right?
Paul Feig.
Oh, Paul Feig.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Guy. I recognize that name.
He directed Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay.
And like,
did
I think.
Did you not like Bridesmaids?
Bridesmaids' strength is in the writing, not the direction.
Oh,
and
he made that awful Last Christmas movie, too.
Yes, he did.
Ooh,
yes, he did.
Ooh,
I don't like his direction. I think his direction is bad.
I think that's fair. Okay, interesting.
So, and I also feel like the like humor of that one really doesn't gel with the humor of the first two like Ghostbusters movies. Like, the first two Ghostbusters movies, as we've said, are very dry, very wry. Very sort of sarcastic. I feel like the other ones, the other Ghostbusters movies is not like that.
Yeah, it's more like Bridesmaids type thing where it's just like goofy stuff going on, which I dug, but I mean, it was a different take, you know?
It's just like strained improv for me. And then this one's coming out. And I remember everyone's like, fuck this movie. Making another Ghostbusters movie, you know? There's a bunch of fucking kids in the movie. And then also there was the big thing of like, there's a kid called Podcast. And
oh, yeah, the podcast kid. Yeah.
Just imagine my shock when I'm like, hey, I love Podcast. Podcast's my favorite character in the movie.
Dude, when I was watching it, I was like, fuck this podcast guy. He
really?
Seems like annoying. And then I was like, he's actually pretty cool.
He's the funniest person in the whole movie.
He's actually all right. He's
like
very good.
In line with the original Ghostbusters. Like, he reminds me a lot of, obviously, like, I think, like, the Dane Aykroyd character.
Where
he's, like, real excited and, like, I don't know. I love Podcast.
Is it because you're on a podcast now? You're
maybe
like, relatable content.
He has his own podcast.
He has his own podcast.
And he only has, like, one listener.
And he also, his nickname is Podcast. You know why his nickname is Podcast?
Why?
Because he calls himself Podcast.
I love that. I love this little kid. I feel bad for this little kid because I'm sure he was just like, oh, everyone's going to make fun of me because my character's name is Podcast. And they did. But
did they? I felt like a lot of people, when they saw the movie, actually kind of liked this
good.
Character.
I
remember
so
hearing,
happy to hear that.
I remember hearing the name Podcast and I'm like, this is going to be stupid. And then I remember hearing other, like, word of mouth that people did seem to kind of latch onto his character a little bit.
I'd say he's probably the strongest character in the whole movie. Like, I liked Phoebe. She was good.
She was pretty good.
She's a weird protagonist because she's, like, sort of close to, like, Egon, who is a more sort of, like, straight-laced kind of guy. But, like,
I think it's an interesting choice, though.
I think it's a smart
choice. What, are you going to have a character like Bill Murray coming in, being all pervy?
Wow, that's very true. Who is, I think, the Finn Wolfhard character.
I guess.
Who I fucking hated.
Yeah, he
was the worst character in the
whole
movie.
I was like, why is this guy here?
Why is he even in there?
I guess
he's
just to drive the car. He's just to drive the car.
He's too old to hang out with these kids.
Yeah.
He's into fucking cop daughter.
The way he gets, oh, really? She's a cop? Interesting. Cop daughter.
Cop daughter, yeah.
It's interesting how he kind of just gets in with them.
Yeah.
Because he's just, like, the whole movie, he's not hanging out in my half until literally when it swaps over to your half.
Right.
So I was just like, who's this other plot? It's weird. It doesn't make sense. Clearly, we're watching Phoebe do stuff.
Right. Phoebe's, like, the main character, and he's just there, too, I guess.
Yeah. Honestly, it felt like that.
That's what it feels like even in my half. I'm like, what is he even doing here? Like, he doesn't seem to have any shared interest. Is he related to her? Or is he
Oh,
just...
you literally don't know how... he's literally her brother.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I would
That's
just like,
pretty great. I guess they really don't reiterate things.
Why would
Why would they? Why would you be like...
For people who walked in halfway through the movie, maybe we should reestablish this. Mm-hmm. I was just sort of like, what is this older kid doing hanging out with these like kids?
This makes sense.
Weird. I was just like, he's clearly the weakest link of the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cop daughter. I don't know her name. Is her name Lucky?
I don't. She barely is in the movie.
Right. Barely in my half, too. Barely does anything. Carrie Coon, who plays the mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool.
She's cool.
She's a good actor.
She's a good actor.
Everything we've ever seen her
she's
in.
Good. She's a good actor, but the material she's given, I felt, is kind
of
like,
sort of whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got Paul Rudd just playing himself.
Paul Rudd having a good old time.
He's just doing what he does best, being sarcastic.
Being a little charming little fella there.
Yeah, and that's about all that you've got.
I got to say, Carrie Coo just always hooks up with hot guys. Justin Theroux.
That's true.
Paul Rudd. She's just banging them out.
That's true. Ben Affleck in Gone Girl. Oh, no, wait. That was her brother. twin brother, even. Very strange choice. Anyway, I agree with you. That whole thing feels really weird and strained as well. Like,
which thing?
The Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They gotta have, I'd rather have that. I'd rather have the adults getting together than
the kids getting together. There is like a flirting thing between Finn Wolfhard and Cop Girl.
Yeah, that's about it.
But also it's revealed that Finn Wolfhard, I don't even know if that's his actual real name, is like 15 or 14 years old, like way younger than her.
Oh, yeah, because he lied about it. I was like, I just get the job at the place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a whole thing, but it doesn't really pay off. What else? I feel like I'm trying to just think of like, one of the things I wanted to talk about too, which we'll get into more as we continue to talk about the plot of the movie. This feels just like a Spielberg movie. Like, it hardly feels like feels more like E.T.
It feels like E.T. with the special effects of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, music of Ghostbusters, like, the tech of Ghostbusters.
Kind
but, like, the way the movie shot, the music, feels very, like, we recently just watched E.T. again.
Yeah, and it's very fresh in the mind.
Very fresh in the mind. Like, literally the end of the movie felt like the I'll be right here scene when E.T. leaves, and I'll get into that as well. But, it was just sort of like, I don't remember the original Ghostbusters being like this.
But also...
Who cares?
Yeah. Also, like, the thing about it is the original Ghostbusters feels dated when I watch it now. It feels like it's definitely like, oh, we could... There's cool ideas here.
Right.
There's cool stuff. Who doesn't love a fucking backpack that shoots a laser and catches a ghost?
That's what I love about
it. We're totally going to fuck up. By the way, we could tell from our Ghostbusters that we're just kind of like, whatever about it.
Yeah, that's true. We're not the biggest fans of the original Ghostbusters. We don't know the tech names. We barely know the character
names. Yeah, I don't
know
the fucking Ecto-1 cooler,
the Ecto
drive
cooler.
Car, whatever it does. Right. You know, I don't know the
can you
thing
name,
behind it.
Can you name any of the four Ghostbusters?
Spielman? Someone with an S.
Spielman?
Spielman. Bill Murray.
Right. Bill Murray and Spielman, my two favorite Ghostbusters.
Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, no, I don't remember the other guy. I don't remember his name. Oh.
You know, you're Googling it. That's not the... Venkman, you got Stans, you got Winston, and you've got... God, what's his name? It's not Spielman. It's, God, what the fuck is his name?
Oh, you can't think of it either. Ha, ha, ha. Look at you.
Spiegman? Spandler. Spandler?
Spandler.
Is that what I already said?
I don't know.
That
sounds good, doesn't
it? Yeah, Spandler, I think his name is.
No, it's Spengler.
Spengler. There we go. Which is Egon. Egon Spengler.
Mm-hmm.
That's Carrie Coon's dad and our main character Phoebe's grandfather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is how it all ties together, baby. Because, like, the third one wasn't really...
It was in a different universe.
Yeah, in some ways, it was a different universe, and this one was more like...
No, it was very much in a different universe, where the Ghostbusters never existed.
Oh, you're right. I thought there was a reference to him somewhere in there. Maybe I was wrong.
You are wrong.
Okay, I guess I'm wrong. All right.
Because Bill Murray literally... Both Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd show up. Neither have been Ghostbusters in the past. Yeah. Takes place in a universe where the Ghostbusters never existed.
Oh, okay. So then this is actually a direct sequel.
Right, exactly.
Like, they existed, and they find, like, YouTube footage of them in the 80s and stuff.
That's sort of the thing. I feel like, because when that Ghostbusters came out, there was this big push by a bunch of fucking, like, you know, basement-dwelling nerds freaking the fuck out and going, like, this isn't my Ghostbusters. And so I feel like this movie sort of, like, pretty hardly pivoted to go like, okay, well, we're gonna put Ghostbusters in the movie and we're gonna sort of like, you know, appeal to you like fans of the original movie. But also it made the choice of going like, but we're it almost feels insulting to like cast literal children as the new Ghostbusters and just sort of go like, you man babies, here are your protagonists.
They're kids now.
Yeah, exactly. They're not even adults.
Because I mean, to be fair, all the people in Ghostbusters are not exactly mature.
That is true.
And in fact, some of the ways it seems that they took the characters from the first movie and where they went to, it sounds like they got even less mature. Or I guess second movie too, because they were the same.
Right. But they were like college educated.
Yes, that's true.
They were just immature, college-educated people.
It's very true.
Right. So they were just like, all right, here's just a bunch of fucking kids, you know, deal with it. And it almost feels like an insult, but I kind of like that little jab that the movie might be doing. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Plus, it's directed by Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son. Ivan Reitman directed the original Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that kind of makes... Oh, that's kind of cute then.
Why is that?
Well, you know, because of the whole, like, lineage and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The lineage that they talk about in this movie.
All right. It's all about passing the baton.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because, like, I think, like, Jason Reitman's always said, like, I'm never going to make a Ghostbusters movie. If I make a Ghostbusters movie, it'll be just a bunch... Because Jason Reitman is a director. He directed, I believe, Juno?
Okay.
And he, like, mostly makes movies about, like, you know, like, people talking.
Yeah.
Most of his movies.
Dialogue driven.
Which is why I was kind of shocked by, like, the way the movie looked. I honestly feel like it looks better than the other Ghostbusters movie that came out, the one that Paul Feig
directed. I think you're right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it looks a lot better. Just more cinematic.
There's some really cool shots in it, yeah.
Yeah.
They seem to be doing... They definitely thought about a lot of the stuff they're doing.
Just, and like good, like, in-camera
and
shit.
And even some of the action stuff, I'm like, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah,
I see
works.
What's going on.
I mean, like, yeah, I know, right?
Which is high bar for an American...
For an American action film.
You know, sequel, Men in Black International. That's... Couldn't tell what was going on.
Exactly. Both have really dumb subtitles. You got International, which was whatever, and then you've got Afterlife, which is a very dumb...
I like Afterlife.
You like it?
Yeah.
It feels silly to me.
It makes sense for the context of
it
the movie, the plot.
It does make sense. It makes sense.
So, I don't know. What
else are you going to call it, right?
What else are you going to call
it? You can't just call it Ghostbusters.
You can't call it Ghostbusters 3.
That's true.
Because there's a third one, it'll be confusing.
But that one was technically just called Ghostbusters.
That one was.
Yeah.
Because it was a complete different universe.
Exactly. And then I think they rebranded it as Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? Because they're like, oh, yeah, we got to put a subtitle here.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So that was weird. I mean, this is like a Rambo situation where it's just
that's
like...
That's true.
First Blood, and it's like, okay, whatever.
But First Blood's the first one. Yeah, exactly.
Afterlife comes after the other ones.
There you go. And it's all about people coming back to life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is... I don't know. I feel like that's a thing that they don't touch on in Ghostbusters too much about like, oh, yeah, these are dead people, right? But, like, what if you knew the dead people?
Yeah.
It's an interesting take. I don't think they did that in the first one, did they?
Not really, no. No. It's mostly also, like, the ghosts are either, like, monsters or, like, I guess there was a couple, like, human-looking ghosts. But, yeah, nobody that, like, anybody knew, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, that's Fred down there. He looks weird.
Although
today.
in the second one, there's ghosts that come back to life that are, like, old, like... villains, like they're people that were like electrocuted, remember, and they pop
up. I don't remember at all.
Okay.
I just remember the Statue of Liberty being in it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all I remember from it.
There you go. The people from the Titanic show up.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Anyway,
it could be lying to me and I'll be like, sure,
I'm not lying to you.
I believe you.
Tell me about the opening of the movie.
So the opening of this movie is, we start off with Ghost Corps, which is the movie company that made this movie.
Oh, corps like corporation.
Yes.
I thought corpse like C-O-R-P.
See, that's the funny part, right? Ghost Corps.
Yeah.
Funny, right?
There you go.
It's interesting that they have their own film division now.
Well, they did that for the last Ghostbusters movie, too.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, and they wanted to make an extended, like a cinematic universe.
Everyone's got to do one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's got to do one. So we start off with, I think, actually a really cool opening. Mm. You get some spooky lightning. You got someone driving a car, you can't see their face. They got a ghost trap with them. Mm. Like, oh shit, it's the Ghostbusters. You know, they're driving the fucking Ecto Cooler car. I'm gonna call it that every time.
But I like calling it an Ecto Cooler.
I know it's wrong and I like it. So he runs into like an old house at a farm and is clearly running away from something. And there's a cool scene where like he's got a switch and there's clearly some electricity going on. He's like, okay, I'm gonna trap this thing. Mm. And you don't see the ghost at all, but you see footprints coming towards him. And you're just like tense and you're waiting. And he presses the button. And it doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Whatever happens, it fails. It doesn't work. So then he goes inside and he gets at the old ghost detector thing, which I'm sure you see in your half.
Yeah,
little
the
bit.
Little thing that pops open.
Yeah, which yeah. I believe is in the first movie. It is. Movie a lot. One. Quite yeah. a lot. And well,
of course it is.
Yeah, of course.
Show
it
to the audience and everyone goes, yeah, I remember that.
I remember that. Yeah. Oh, my God. Same with the ghost trap. Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
he walks into the barn. He's
going in there, no, into his own house.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, ghost detector's going around. And he sits down, like, mess with the ghost.
Who is it?
Detector. You don't know. You don't see his face the whole time. Okay. It's, like, kind of obscured. You kind of see his hair. So you can kind of guess it's Spengler.
Right.
You can kind of guess that. So I'm like, okay, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sits down on a chair, and then a spooky ghost comes and just fucking. Oh, no. Excuse me. One key factor is he hides the. Ghost trap in,
right.
the, in like the floorboards.
Mm.
And then he fucking gets murked by the ghost because he's just sitting there. And the ghost like comes up and like stabs him
ghost,
and then just like flies through him and
yeah.
flies off, which is pretty cool. And then he looks dead, but the detector thing is still working. It's still got batteries.
I see.
And
what does the ghost look like?
The ghost looks like a straight up like wolf demon.
Like from the first movie?
Not really. I don't think so. It didn't look like the one from the first movie.
Okay.
So it just looks it like looked more wolfy. Thing. Like
hairy?
It had more of like a dragon, like wolf face kind of. Like it's very long snout.
Okay.
Like wolf, like big bad wolf style.
Got it. Got it.
Not like the dog thing.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
I don't know. What would you call it, other dog?
Oh,
stuffy dog.
I call
dog.
Them ghost dogs.
Ghost dogs?
Ghost dogs.
Oh, ghost dogs. They said ghost dogs. They're called Gozer, right?
Gozer is their master, yes.
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 Gozer dogs is what I call them. Like Yozes.
That works perfect.
Works for me.
So do you ever see Spengler?
No, you just see him dead. Mm. You see like a dead body. It's all like shrouded in darkness.
Do you think they brought the actor back?
I don't know.
He died.
I was gonna say he died, right?
Yeah, he died in real
life. He's the one who died.
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice to then kill him.
Right at the beginning of the movie.
I couldn't remember which one of the Ghostbusters died.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
It was Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis,
yeah.
Yes.
A director in his own right.
Yeah. So anyway, then we title screen, and then we cut to Carrie Coon hanging out with these nerdy ass kids just driving her nuts. And you know,
is podcast there?
Podcast is not there. Podcast is not there because they're at home.
Oh, okay.
But then
I don't know where podcast's like family is.
He doesn't have a family. He's just an entity. He's a podcaster.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't
yeah.
talk about your family in your podcast.
That is true.
I don't have any parents. Where are they? Who knows? Never discussed it. Maybe I did. Who knows?
Who
cares? Got a lot of podcasts.
Yeah,
a lot of episodes. So then, she's. Got to answer to this knock on the door.
She's got to answer the call.
She's got to answer the call. Yeah, that's it. She is a woman in the Ghostbusters movie, so,
yep.
You know, got to answer the call. And it's the landlord, and she's like, I'm sorry, I haven't paid in a while. My dad died in the middle of nowhere, so, you know, I got to go collect it. But it'll be a bunch of money.
Mm.
I don't know why he left it. I never even met him. You know, don't feel sorry for me.
Right.
And the landlord's like, okay, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to dump on you.
Is she living in the, like, farm? Where is she living?
I was just going to say. And then she gets evicted right away.
Oh, okay, she's gone
then. So it's just like an apartment.
Right. In, like, New York?
No idea where it is.
Okay.
It seems
is it like a big city?
It seems like a city, though.
Okay, got it.
It seems like a much more lively place than where
a metropolitan city.
Yes, a metropolitan city. We'll
you
say.
Got it. So then she has to move to the farm.
So she got evicted.
Right.
And so they start driving. They drive in the middle of nowhere. Just, you know, under the pretenses that, oh, we're only going to stay here for a week.
Right.
You know, the kids think that because why would we go to this place? Grandpa left us.
Right.
You know, and there doesn't seem to be much there. So they get up to the place. They drive up. There's a bunch of signs that are spray painted with like Revelations 6:12, which is a bunch of spooky shit about like the world ending.
Right.
And then... son, you know, all this great dialogue setting up everything. Like, you never met your dad. It's a good thing you never met your dad. Sounds like a real nut job sort of thing. And so they can't even get into the house. They have to break in. The little girl Phoebe finds a Clortho statue in dog form, like one of those, the dog
with the dog ghosts. Thing.
Yeah, the dog ghosts. I looked up the name of it. It's Clortho, I think is the name. So there you
Boring.
Go. There you go, nerds. Be happy. I looked up one thing for your ecto cooler plasm.
The movie didn't establish it for us.
Didn't have to, because it's like, if you're a fan, you know.
That's right. Only real fans.
Only real fans. Mm. And the son's like, wow, this place sucks. This is horrible. It's like all dilapidated. This is a house, by the way. This is a house, big acreage, big farm out in the middle of nowhere. There's like a broken down shed. That's kind of the main happenings of this movie.
Mm-hmm. In the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. Absolutely nowhere.
Starkly different from...
very different from where the kids are from.
And also the first two Ghostbusters movies.
Yes, which were densely
all,
in New York.
All the Ghostbusters movies. Yeah, exactly.
I know you, New York. I know York, Nork.
You might know ghost stuff, but I know New York.
There you go.
That's right.
Like, bringing it back. So, like, the son's like, oh, well, this sucks, but we're only going to be here a week, right? And mom's like, well, actually, we got evicted, so we have to stay here for a lot longer.
Whoopsies.
Whoopsie daisy. And the lawyer comes by who's like, hey, I'm here to do the estate. Do you want to do anything with it? She's like, it's worth nothing. He left you nothing else, just this house.
Damn.
And, oh, he did leave you a bunch of debt, though.
Great.
I'm like, cool.
Cool.
So she's upset by that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go driving to town to get some food. And, oh, what then? They go to the food at the local, like, restaurant. And the restaurant's, like, old school, like, roller. Like, all people are in roller derby? That's not the right word. Roller skates.
Yes.
The roller derby.
They're
having a violent attack.
Knocking people
knocking
over
their burgers and fries. That'd be a really fun
way
to serve food.
Yeah.
You just get a fight. A
Your
dinner and a show.
Everywhere.
It's like medieval times, but modern.
Modern times.
Modern times. So, anyway, there's a girl there, and fucking the older boy is like, yeah, I'm into it. I don't know. What's his name again?
Finn?
Finn's his name. He's
not his, not the character's name. I don't know the character's name is.
Wait, his character? Oh, you mean the actor's name is Finn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what the character's name is. I feel like they almost never mention it.
Trevor. Apparently his name is Trevor.
Fine. Okay, I'll take it.
All right. And the girl's name is Lucky.
Oh, the one he's trying to get
at?
Yeah. So he sees her and is like, oh, nice. I'm going to go talk to her, and tries to flirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's awkward. He can't really flirt.
Wah, wah.
So he just gets a job at the place, lies about his age. And everyone kind of makes fun of him. It's like, wow, you're really trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very obvious. And then they're back home and they start noticing creepy things going around the house. Like, I don't know. These chess pieces keep falling over.
Oh!
It's so scary.
Mm. How are they going
to
live?
I know. So Phoebe goes off to school. I think it's like summer school, so it's like no one wants to go there.
Right.
And I do like this introduction because she goes off at this in the class, and Carrie Coon's there, and then Paul Rudd opens the door. And,
is he a teacher?
And he's a teacher there.
Oh, okay.
And he says basically like, oh, no, my job's great. All the kids are really dumb here, so I just get to do whatever I want.
That's pretty good.
And I'm like, it's like, score, right? It's like, well, that's my daughter that just went in there. Oh, it's cool. So then he shows like fucking horror movies too. He's like, here's Cujo. Have fun with that.
Awesome.
I'm gonna go hang out in the back.
Oh,
here.
That might be a foreshadowing.
Oh, really? Okay.
So the ghost dogs.
Oh, that's a good thought. That's a good thought. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, later on he shows Chucky. Is that also a foreshadowing?
No.
Okay. Well,
that's just a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Check out our podcast about it.
It's true. And then I go, oh no, a podcast kid's here.
Yeah,
on my notes.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he immediately starts interrogating Phoebe about like, oh, he does a thing that like is kind of annoying, but he stops doing this after a while, but he's just like, oh, she's mysterious and from a new area.
Mm-hmm.
What does she think? And then he like puts the podcast where he's like, what do you think?
Mm. He's playing it up for the audience.
I get it. I get
you know,
why
we
he's
do
doing
the same
it.
Thing all the time.
I mean, that's true. We don't really set moods of what this room is.
That is
Mike,
fair.
Do that right now. Set the room mood.
Got it.
Tell right. me. Bring the audience into the room with us.
Got it. So fucking hot.
And see, that's a good way. That's a good quick way of doing it. Mine would be like, the sweat drips down your back and soaks into your underwear. As you're dripping, sweating, you can't tell if it's tears anymore or if it's actually
it's
crying.
Tears anymore.
As your hands sit on this dry, dusty wood of the table
from IKEA,
watching the bars of the podcast meters go up and
yeah,
down.
Just literally
slowly.
Looking at it, trying to think of shit to talk about.
That's pretty much what you do.
That's pretty accurate.
And there
pretty
you go. Accurate. Now I feel like audience are with us now, finally.
There you go. With the two of us together combined.
Yep.
You're here.
You got Mike's abridged version, which is nice. It gets to the point. So, then they, Carrie Coon's going out, and no,
tell me
more
about
podcast. We were
done
with him. He's just introduced there. They talk to each other.
All right.
But you go to Carrie Coon. She's working and trying to make the house better.
Working
and the hardware guy's like, wow, you're that guy's daughter. Mm. Wow. We call him Dirt Farmer. She's like, why do you call him Dirt Farmer? Everyone calls him Dirt Farmer around here. And he's like, well, because all he did was like till soil, but like never plant anything or water it. Like he would just make the soil look nice and then not do anything with it. It's
wonder
very
why he did that.
I don't know. Maybe to catch those monsters. That's why his footprints were there.
Mm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But anyway, she's like, great customer, though.
What if it was like, this movie is fucking called Ghostbusters. This guy's like constantly trying to fight ghosts, and it's just like fucking like Sasquatch shows up. Like, oh no, it's an actual real monster. I can't deal with this.
I mean, that's true. It's true.
Anyway.
So it turns out while, you know, Cujo's going on, Phoebe gets bored. She's like, I want to actually, like, I like school because I like learning, but I don't think I'm going to learn anything here.
Right.
So she kind of like wanders off to see what Paul Rudd's doing. Mm-hmm. And what happens is an earthquake happens.
Oh, weird.
And no one seems to really care.
It happens all the time.
Except Paul Rudd, who's actually a seismologist.
Oh.
Professionally, but just making money here on the side, it sounds like.
Got it.
And actually, he came here because
of the earthquakes.
The earthquakes
setting them
are very weird.
Why are they weird?
Well, instead of like a normal earthquake that, you know, happens at a spot, and kind of like shifts out, it's more like an explosion, like something, a bang going off, and then the seismic waves kind of go in a smaller direction. It's very strange.
Interesting.
It's a weird wave pattern.
Weird.
And it's also, they live in Oklahoma, you know, a place that doesn't
have
earthquakes.
It doesn't have earthquakes at all.
It's just
not
there.
True.
There's no seismic plates here, so what's going on? He explains all this to Phoebe, and this is where we learn Phoebe's very smart.
Yes.
And
she's
Paul
nerd.
Rudd really is into this. He's like, wow, someone who's really smart I got to talk to. So then, let's see, we cut to hanging out with Podcast, with Phoebe, they're walking
Hell
around.
Yeah, that's what I'm fucking
Podcast
talking about.
Podcast is like, all about like, oh man, I believe in ghosts, and Phoebe's like, I don't believe in anything, really. And
I don't believe in God.
That's really what she said. She's like, awesome. I think we're just meatbag puppets. he's like, well, I gotta show you something. And then she takes her to this weird, spooky abandoned mining facility that used to be the whole town. The whole town was a mining operation, but they had to shut it down because apparently after a while, miners would just every so often just jump down the mine shaft and kill themselves.
Whoa.
One by one.
Weird.
It was the Shannadorian curse, he called it.
Mm.
Shannadorian curse, excuse me.
Shannon Jordy curse.
Let me pronounce it properly. Excuse me, the heat's getting to me. Then we got the teen boy. He's finding an old fucking ectoplasm car.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, cool car, except it sucks.
Right. It's broken apart.
It's broken apart and shitty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that mention of like, I don't believe in ghosts or anything, comes home, Phoebe starts playing chess immediately with a ghost.
No.
Because the chessboard's like going. Mm. The chessboard's knocked over and she's like, oh, that's weird. So she starts playing chess. And it's like, this is very strange. And then little devices around the house start lighting up. And she kind of follows it like, what the hell? And then she sits down in a chair and it spins directly in front of like the specific baseboard. And she's like, okay. And then she does like a little bit of movement on the baseboard, and out pops the spooky ghost trap.
Oh!
The old ghost trap, you know?
Oh, yeah.
From that Ghostbusters,
I remember the
babe.
Ghost trap.
You remember it.
Yeah.
We mentioned it earlier in this podcast. And they're trying to open it. They try opening it at school, and Paul Rudd sees her and Podcast opening while they're watching Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, whoa, cool replica. I'm like, replica? What are you talking about? It's like, oh yeah, in the 80s, like there was this phenomenon in like New York where like all these ghosts just came out and like went wild, and then it just stopped after then. There hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years.
Huh.
Because a bunch of weird physicists appeared and it was like over.
Right.
Dealt with it. It's like, you guys never heard of this thing? This is weird. It's a weird thing that happened. Everyone's heard of it, and they start watching like YouTube.
I feel like it's like the Pet Rock phenomenon, right? Like only certain people remember it.
Pet Rock, yeah. We all know about that. We all know about that.
You never heard of the Pet Rock?
Oh, okay. I thought, in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, rock and roll with pets. I get it. Now I know what you're talking about. The Pet Rock thing.
Yeah,
yes.
The phenomenon that really only lasted for a bit, where it was like people would buy boxes of rocks,
yeah,
and it would be their pet, in quotes. Like, it's that kind of weird phenomenon that only certain people really...
Yeah, except like all of New York was attacked and a giant marshmallow man appeared, stuff like that.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
That's a little more... I feel like that would permeate a little bit more. I don't know, like 9/11, maybe?
You think so?
You'd think so. You'd
but
think
we
people...
won. Terrorists didn't.
Oh
win.
Yeah. Well,
we
you
won.
Know, people never forgot 9/11. I guess they forgot the Ghostbusters though.
Exactly. Yeah. Probably and also, it was right after that, the fucking like Lady Liberty popped up and walked through the streets as well.
Yeah.
Like just a year or so after.
You don't forget about
you
that.
Think you'd remember that.
You think yeah. you'd remember that, but that's you know, I guess. There wasn't a big war you could wage afterwards, so we really didn't see those effects.
Kids and their TikToks. They don't know the first thing about Ghostbusters.
No, they really don't.
No.
This is when he starts to realize, like, oh, this is like a real ghost trap from the real thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's revealed that, like, who her grandpa is yet. But
But who is it?
It's Spengler. We mentioned this earlier.
Oh, yeah. From the original Ghostbusters.
From the original Ghostbusters,
the actor
yeah.
died.
He died. He did. And he died in the movie, too.
That's right.
Whatever this guy looked like. So they try to open up a ghost trap,
mm-hmm.
and they do. I don't know why they decided to open it. They're like, we got to get in this thing. Seems cool.
Does a ghost come out?
A big, giant ghost comes out and flies directly to the mines. And they're oh, shit. It was great because Paul Rudd's just like, we need to go before we get in trouble. And they're like, but you're the adult. He's like, yeah. I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then...
This movie sounds very charming so far.
It's very charming. Yeah. And then podcast is like, dude, your grandfather was a Ghostbuster. And she's like, yeah, I gathered that from all of this.
Oh, podcast.
So then Paul Rudd drives him home with a broken windshield. And
why is his windshield broken?
Because a ghost flew out and like broke a bunch of windshields.
I didn't know
and shit.
That.
Yeah, I didn't go with that. But
okay,
yes.
But his windshield's broken the entire movie, and I was like, why?
Yeah, the ghost busted out and like broke a bunch of school bus windows and his own car.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So then he arrives, drops the kids off, talks to Carrie Coon again. Is like they have awkward flirting and they leave, and then podcast just says, "I think Mr. Gooberson's trying to bone your mom."
I love your podcast.
Good old podcast. let's see. So then they start reading and they find some notes about Gozer in this book that I guess her grandpa had, and about they got the Keymaster and Gatekeeper.
That's
and they
right.
must take forms of beasts until they're together.
I wonder who wrote that book.
I don't know. It doesn't say. So then we get the teen. We follow the teens. The teen kid. Remember him? He's not really important in the plot.
No,
still.
He sounds
terrible. He's just trying to hook up with that lady.
Right.
But he's getting all the shit jobs at the restaurant as he's working there.
I didn't even realize he worked at the restaurant.
Well, that's because the restaurant gets pretty much a story like right before your half.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So, works at the restaurant. And then the kids are like, hey, we're all going to go hang out now after our shift and like go hang out at the creepy mines because it's like the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they go hang out there.
The thing to do is to hang out at the mines.
It's a pretty
honestly,
boring...
yeah, that's real small town vibes.
Very much.
Yeah.
So they go hang out at the mines and her and him are talking and she's like, why did you leave this place? And it's like, I don't know if I will. It's like, would you if you had a car and can leave? Like, would you get out of here? I don't know. My family's been here for a lot. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Exposition. Who cares?
Right. Good
because
to know.
What happens is they're hanging out on this like above a mine shaft on like a chair that's just hanging out there, like a two-piece chair. I don't know, maybe it's like the lowering mechanism or something.
Sure.
But anyway, fucking start shaking. There's like a little earthquake and they look down and like there's a creepy monster down there going, Gozer! And then it pops out and flies out. And some people freak out and other people are like, that's weird.
They're just used
they're
to
like,
it.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Teens.
Yeah.
So then Phoebe's in the basement and
Phoebe's
finds
in the basement.
finds old stuff like the Ghostbuster suits.
Whoa.
Like an old Crunch bar in the suit, which I'm like, that's a reference that a lot of people probably get.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I bet Spengler loved crunchy bars or something. Crunch bars. Crunch bars. Crunch bars. They're not crunchy bars, they're crunch bars.
He's having a fucking seizure over
it's
here.
It's so hot, dude. I feel I'm so sweaty. Spengler.
Is there a Twinkie?
No.
Oh.
No Twinkie.
Shame.
No Stay Puft Marshmallow Man either.
Mm-mm.
And then sees this like new tool there on the ground. It's like small cyclotron. And I guess it's the Ghostbuster theme. She's like, how'd you get it so small? Mm. And it's cute because it's kind of like an Evil Dead where it's like the house is talking, but it's just him being a ghost and like moving like lamps around.
Right.
And like turning on lights and being like,
I was
yeah,
wondering
I'm responding.
Why lamps were moving around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his ghost
oh,
doing
see.
Stuff.
Okay, cool.
Well,
it's respectful that they didn't bring the actor back from the dead.
Yeah, it's a smart way of doing it.
Yeah, circumventing that.
Without having like a character fucking
like a weird CG
thing that's yeah. so hot these days.
Yeah.
anyway, she watches the old ads and is like, wow, I like Ghostbusters. Anyway, Karakuri's like, I'm going to go have a date with your teacher whose full name is Gary Gruberson.
Yes.
Which is such a name.
Spengler. Vinkman.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
So then they go out to the field, her and Podcast. This is
Fuck
Phoebe
yeah.
and Podcast.
Mom and Podcast.
Mom and Podcast. You know, we should spend some quality time.
Yeah.
Random person just showed up. They test out the Ghostbuster weapon. It works great. It blows up things. And they go into a random refinery that they're near. Mm. And it's haunted looking.
Right.
And they find a big ghost eating pipes.
Oh, yeah.
With
multiple arms.
Mm-hmm. And Podcast tries to scare him off with a whistle that he found earlier in the house they're living in. It's some spooky whistle. I don't know if that comes back into play. It makes a really loud sound. Okay, never mind then.
Not at all.
And it thought it would ward the ghost off and scare him. Instead, the ghost gets mad and just turns around and starts shooting bullets out of its mouth.
Probably it like ate the metal and like condensed them into bullets.
Yeah, which is wild.
Shot him back at him, yeah.
And then they're like, they try to shoot at it, then the ghost escapes. And they're like, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
In the meantime, we cut back to Trevor, or is it Taylor?
Trevor,
got it.
Trevor and Lucky?
Sure, Lucky. Yeah. Lucky and Trevor, Phoebe and Podcast.
Got it.
Man, Podcast, why don't you just name your kids names like that? Just have a good nickname like that.
Podcast.
You never forget that. Podcast, you never forget.
It's great SEO for him.
Great SEO, yeah. we got to Trevor, and he's fixing up the car. He gets it working. He drives around their massive field, does a sick jump, and like almost runs... drives right up to Phoebe and Podcast and just like introduced, like, hey, this is my brother, this is Podcast. Okay, cool,
good to know.
We should go check this thing out because we just saw a ghost. And he's like, what? Okay, whatever, we go drive somewhere. And then we cut to the date between Carrie Coon and fucking Paul Rudd, and basically Carrie Coon's like, science is boring, I hate it. I don't like it at all. And it's like, oh, probably because your dad was a piece of shit. And you know, even though she never met him, but probably just assumed all science
she
was boring.
She never met her dad.
That's what they said earlier.
Wow.
They said they've never met, unless there's a lie or something.
Who's her mom?
I don't know. I don't think it's ever mentioned.
Okay, cool.
Guess
it doesn't matter. It
doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So then, she basically hates science, but Paul Rudd's super into science. He gets super excited about it and talks about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, Phoebe's great at science. And she's like, yeah, I just wish she would like actually have fun instead of just being a nerd the whole time.
Right.
And do fun things.
But she tells bad jokes.
She does tell pretty great bad jokes.
Yeah.
Pretty great bad jokes. They're a little obtuse, but they work. So then,
was that a joke?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying a little obtuse.
Yeah.
You know, like a triangle.
Like a triangle. That's what I thought you were going.
I was baiting you into a joke, Mike.
And I did take
that's
it.
That's next level. You did take it, so it worked.
I suppose that's true. Oh no, the ghost trap.
See, I got you. If you were a ghost,
I would have been got.
You would have been got. Yeah. You would have been in that ghost trap.
My ectoplasm.
So then, let's see. Oh, so they all go driving together, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a police scanner, and they're like, oh, we heard the ghost. There's someone eating a fire hydrant, a bunch of damage in the town. Okay, let's go check it out. And Trevor's like skeptical. He's like, this sounds like silly stuff, but whatever. We'll drive around a little bit. I got to drive a cool car.
I'm a teenager.
Yeah.
That's a similar thing to E.T.
Yeah, and also I realized that he's underage, too.
Yeah.
Now that that's revealed that he actually isn't. Of driving age. I was like, 17? Yeah, whatever.
Right. He's like 15 years old.
There you go.
So it's just like the older brother in E.T. who like drives the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, very E.T.
Very.
And Podcast is E.T.
No.
You just want to protect him. So then, let's see. They drive through town and they see a bunch of damage. They find the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this cool thing that they added to the Ghostbuster thing. I don't remember this in the movies.
It's a seat that pops out.
A seat that pops out like a gunner seat. Was that in the movies? I remember that.
I don't think it was in the movies, but I think it was a
maybe it was in
toy.
The cartoon.
It was either in the cartoon or it was like part
I watched
of the
cartoon
toy.
A lot.
You did?
Yeah, the cartoon was cool.
I never watched the cartoon.
Cartoon to me is like, I watched about as much as the Men in Black cartoon.
Wow.
I mean, she was bomb.
Wait, are you talking about original Ghostbusters? Or are you talking about the Ultimate Ghostbusters?
I think it was the Adventures of the Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay, okay. Because then they made another Ghostbusters series for like the cool kids that there was one in a wheelchair. There was a goth girl.
I don't remember
a
that one.
Guy.
I remember
cool.
it being about the old character, the real Ghostbusters.
Got it,
right?
got it. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Which is a weird name. I think there's a reason behind why they call it the real Ghostbusters.
There must be.
So then, what happened? They pop the thing out. They're like, whoa, cool, gunner seat. And Phoebe tries shooting and almost traps them. But they didn't quite catch him. In fact, they start shooting lasers everywhere and destroying parts of the town as they're running through town trying to catch this ghost.
Mm.
And they include destroying the place the team worked at, the little roller derby diner, the roller skating diner. Mm-hmm. And then they chase him to the mountain and they're trying to get him. And they got this like remote control trap they got on the ground. They put like wheels on it and they're trying to drive it to get it under the ghost. And so they can, you know, slam him into it with the fucking ecto fucking
cooler,
the blaster guns,
right?
The blaster guns, God,
ghost guns.
Get him in there. But then the movie ended for me.
Right. Well, they destroyed a lot of property. They did catch the ghost.
Okay.
Very last second. But then the cops show up.
Oh, no.
And they get arrested.
Oh.
And Phoebe's one phone call, she calls Dan Aykroyd, who works at like a rundown bookstore.
Wait, what? How'd she get his number?
From the, I think it was like, she found it amongst like a bunch
his
of
stuff.
His stuff.
Okay.
So she calls him.
I think that might have been established earlier. I was like, whatever.
It doesn't matter, you'd think. But it does. She calls him and she's like, hey, I'm friends with Egon. Doesn't even, or like you were friends with Egon, and he's just like, stop chasing ghosts. And she's like, I'm Egon's granddaughter. And then the cop shows up and hangs up the phone for her.
And that's just also enough of a message, you know, just a real Princess Leia Obi-Wan moment.
Basically,
right there.
So do you think Dan Aykroyd will show up at the end of the movie? Who knows?
Who could tell?
Who can tell?
How do you know it's Dan Aykroyd? Is it a straight up show?
Oh, you see him.
Okay.
Absolutely, you see him. So then the cop is like, your grandfather was fucking crazy. He was a crazy man. And mm-hmm. Phoebe pulls a gun on the cop.
What? Where'd
the
she
ghost
get the gun? Oh, the ghost.
Pulls the ghost gun.
On where'd she get a gun? She has the ghost gun.
Yeah,
I guess in my mind, I thought it was a real, like.
Sure.
Yeah. Pull out no, my, call my Colt 45.
I was like, this little girl's about to get fucking murdered.
Yeah.
But the mom is like apologizing profusely. She's in massive trouble. There's a big fight that happens and she's brought back home. And also this is where it's established that Lucky is the cop's daughter. Then that's the end of that scene. Paul Rudd goes to Walmart.
Okay.
Goes there to pick up some ice cream. And
why?
You know why? Because I could really go for some Baskin Robbins right about now.
Really? Does it do that?
I mean, yeah.
Wow. That's the first product placement I've seen. I don't think there was any in my house.
Really? Well, yeah. Walking through Walmart, there's a lot of products.
I guess you're right. You get it all done in one shot, right?
That's right. You got that. You got a shit ton of stuff. But one other thing you got in there is the Stay Puft marshmallows. Mm. And he goes to get that. And then out of there comes tiny little marshmallow men popping out of the bag.
What the fuck?
They've come
They're
to
ghosts.
Life. They're ghosts. Well, their ghost energy, I guess, has like possessed all the little marshmallows. So they turn into little marshmallow men. And they are like weirdly like suicidal. They keep like because they realize how delicious they all are, so they start like trying to eat each other.
Oh god.
And then they all attack Paul Rudd, and then
he's the tastiest snack of all, let me tell you.
And you know who really wants him is a ghost dog that shows up.
Ghost dog.
And from the Gozer.
Yeah,
ghost,
like Gozer ghost dog. Yeah, okay. Cujo
mm-hmm. chases after Paul Rudd jumps through like the opening of his windshield.
Do you think the Stay Puft marshmallow men are like Chucky?
Yes, I was just thinking that, yeah. too. I was like, that's totally a reference to those Stay Puft. They're tiny.
Yeah,
the
little guys.
Last thing we see is Paul Rudd being chased by the ghost dog, and he's like cornered in his car. Then I also wrote down, podcast is the best. He's funny. He matches the humor of the original the closest. I love him. I want to adopt him. Uh-huh. Anyway, back to the story. We hear about Ivo.
Okay.
He's the guy that built the original apartment building in the first movie that Sigourney Weaver lives in.
Okay.
He also built this town, this mining town.
Okay.
And
please explain more.
I would love nothing more than to explain to you the deep lore that this movie tries to establish in the Ghostbusters mythos. So you have this guy. He's like essentially like a what am I looking for? Like a Rockefeller, essentially.
Okay.
He's a dude who fucking hit it big when he discovered the mines. The mines that all the fucking teenagers hang out in.
Yeah, the mines. Because it had like a weird metal. I don't remember what they were mining.
Yes.
That metal sound like a goofy made up
metal.
It's
a goofy named weird metal.
Yeah.
He discovers that metal in the mines, hits it rich.
Yeah.
Makes this town so that miners can come here, makes money off of that.
I mean, there are tons of miners at the town at the mine I saw.
That's right.
Tons of them. And they, in fact, some of them got scared when they almost made out on top of that mine shaft.
There, as they should.
Uh-huh.
As they should be. And so, I just got your joke.
It's so hot, it's hard to process things. It's okay.
I was like, there wouldn't be any miners anymore. I know what you're talking about now. So, right. People coming in, going to strike a rich with the metal. That metal.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Monet.
That metal that was found in the mines, the weird, strange-sounding, fake-named metal,
mm-hmm.
was used in the construction of the apartment complex in the first Ghostbusters movie.
Okay.
Which is why Gozer shows up there. That's why the portal to Gozer's dimension is opened up on top of that apartment complex. Is because the metal...
I thought something happened to make that open above that apartment complex. Or was
You're
it literally
right.
just random? No, it was something, wasn't it? Didn't they like do an enchantment or something? Or some sort of like... I don't remember.
It was a mix of things.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because you got Sigourney Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
She was the gatekeeper.
I think so.
And then you got Rick Moranis, who was the keymaster. But there is a point where Sigourney Weaver opens up her refrigerator... And she sees like a portal to hell
yeah.
in the refrigerator. That's before any of that shit happens. And that's why she calls Bill Murray.
That was the original thing. So that's what started it.
Right. Yeah. So it seems like there is just a portal to this other dimension because the apartment is built from the metal from this mine here.
Interesting.
And Harold Ramis, Venkman, that's his fucking name, Spielman?
Sure.
I don't know what the fuck. He discovered this. And that's why he moved to this bumfuck middle of nowhere town. Because he knew that this is where the metal came from.
That's why he abandoned his family.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if I established he abandoned his family. I guess
I've abandoned my child.
I guess the fact that, like, you know, Carrie Coon never met her dad
probably
implies that he abandoned.
That's a pretty good implication
that
he abandoned him. Well, that's why he did it. And so they. Any more questions?
No, it all makes sense now. It makes sense. Got it.
Fucking. Tight as the steel drum.
Yeah.
Is that
tight as whatever metal's made out of.
That's
that
right.
Fucking apartment.
So they go inside the mine, mm-hmm. and not only do they find a giant Gozer statue.
This is some exorcist shit.
Right. They also find a mummy of Ivo. Of Carrie Coon. Of Ivo. Ivo. What the fuck his name is? The guy that built the town. He's played by J.K. Simmons.
Cool. Like him.
Right? They also find a pit.
Yeah.
In the middle of it all.
Isn't that not the mine shaft that they were jumping in?
No, because they get in that mine shaft,
okay,
and inside the shaft is the statue, the mummy, and a giant hole in the ground.
Normal thing to find in a
mine
shaft.
Normal thing to find.
Mm-hmm.
They also find a bunch of dates on the wall, which imply that these are like giant like disasters that have occurred throughout history.
Okay. Did they eat any?
And one of them... is the ghost of that is so proud of himself.
I thought you were going to be able to keep it straight. You laughed because I was laughing. Laughing at my shitty ass joke. Sweat my balls off here. As they just try to get to the end of the movie.
One of them is the date of when the ghost appeared in New York, and the other one is 2021.
Oh, shit.
Right.
That's when this movie was probably spent to come out.
Probably.
I think it did come out then.
I think it did.
I think it came out last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they had to.
They
I
had
remember
to
hearing
it.
About this. They actually made a physical prop, that big prop. They made it 2019 because that's when it was going to come out.
Really?
And they had to go in digitally and change it to 2021. I remember hearing about this.
I didn't know
yeah.
about that. Oh, shit. I didn't hear about that. So 2021 is the year that the ghosts, some bad's going to happen. And then they start feeling an earthquake and that little pit in the middle. A big mass of like ghost energy comes out.
How's it
and
look?
On top of it all, it looks not great.
Okay.
And on top of it all is what looks like Gozer.
Okay.
But then these giant towers, and on top of the towers that are like surround this circular pit, and on top of those towers, they're like recently built, and on top of them are giant ghost rays
mm-hmm.
that Egon has made. So Egon has been here, discovered all this stuff, and in order to save... So the earthquakes are basically these giant ghost rays shooting into the pit to keep Gozer from escaping.
Oh, because he's all woken up now.
They are all woken up.
Oh, yeah.
Now...
Yeah, yes, you're right.
Yes! So the movie even goes into how Gozer is non-binary.
Wow.
Not a man or a woman, and then Lucky... The cop daughter says, wow, pretty woke for 3,000 years ago.
It's almost like they've been around for a lot longer.
Yeah, interesting. So, right. So, that happens. And then also it's revealed that J.K. Simmons is, like, alive, I guess? Because he's a mummy, but not really dead.
Okay. I mean, ghosts fucking happen. Who knows?
Right, exactly.
That's the thing about Ghostbusters. Almost similar to Men in Black. They're kind of fast and loose with their mythology. It's
yeah.
just, no, it never really
Whatever's
feels like it
fun.
Has stakes. Yeah, it's just
whatever
fun.
Works.
Yeah.
So, Mom, Carrie Coon, finds her dad's old ghost hunting office, a bunch of photos of her,
mm-hmm.
and like he's and I, she says like it's like he was tracking me, and I was like, that's creepy because I just assumed they'd grown up together.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
Now I realize it's because they didn't.
Yeah,
and he was really just like tracking his daughter. And also a ghost dog escapes from a ghost trap and possesses her. So now she's like the Sigourney Weaver ghost lady, the gatekeeper, and she's looking for the keymaster. First, she thinks it's Podcast. So she starts to kind of like seduce this little boy. But
what's Podcast reaction?
Podcast is like, what are you doing? I got to get this on my podcast. But then she realizes it isn't. And she realizes it's Paul Rudd. And so she goes to fuck Paul Rudd.
Oh, man.
Fuck in the middle of the desert.
They do?
Yeah, they do.
Nice.
And also, while this is all happening before this, Paul Rudd, as the possessed, because he's also possessed by the ghost dog, he tears down the ghost rays, so Gozer is free.
Oh.
And now that they have copulated, Carrie Coon and Paul Rudd, Gozer is now in physical form.
Got it.
Phoebe also realizes that the farm is not a farm. She says, this isn't a farm. It's a trap. She realizes that what Egon was doing when he was tilling the land was he was bearing a bunch of ghost traps in the middle. And they were all hooked up to this like electrical equipment.
I did see the electrical equipment. Did not work the last time I saw it. It
didn't work the last time you saw it. And it's not going to work the next time you see it.
Oh, no.
So then the gang gets their equipment back from the abandoned cop station. I don't know why it's abandoned. I think the cops just escaped because...
Oh, they ran away because they're scared.
Because they're scared of the ghosts. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I get it. It
makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Cowardly cops.
Well, they waited out front for a little bit. And then
they didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And then they see a Gozer. So, and then after that, they go to the mine.
Uh-huh.
Because they know, they can see like giant clouds forming around the mine shaft. So they go, they see Gozer... is like manifested. J.K. Simmons is like, Gozer, I've built this temple for you, and now the two of us shall rule in infamy. And then Gozer just rips J.K. Simmons in half, and that's the end of J.K. Simmons.
Cool.
And so Gozer, who is played by, oh no, what's her name? Olivia Wilde.
Oh, okay.
Olivia Wilde plays Gozer. Gozer is just doing what Gozer does, which is they fucking hang out on like stairs, petting their dog, their creepy ghost dog. And then Phoebe is like, I gotta distract Gozer, because if we trap one of Gozer's ghost dogs, then Gozer will no longer be a physical manifestation. So Phoebe goes up and is like, hey, I'm gonna tell you jokes. And Phoebe tells Gozer jokes.
Mm-hmm. They're all bangers, right?
They're all great. There was one that I've actually told before in a job interview, which was two whales are in a bar. One whale says to the other whale, and the other whale says, go home, you're drunk.
Did you get that job?
No.
Okay. Good to know.
I did not.
Got it.
That's what you get when you ask a fucking interview question is, tell us a joke. I'm like,
what a silly interview question.
Because all I'm thinking is like bad jokes, like racy jokes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like dirty jokes.
Well, they want to make sure and when the time gets tough, you can make clean jokes.
And I
you
did.
I
did.
You still didn't pass somehow.
No, I did not send.
Well, there's all those other racist answers.
could have done a racist joke.
Yeah.
But all of these bad jokes actually do a good job of distracting Gozer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ghost dogs gets trapped. And Gozer turns into like veins and like musculature. It kind of looks like Hellraiser.
I was going to say, it sounds like Hellraiser.
It's kind of a little bit like Hellraiser. And so now they
That's wild to do that in a movie like this.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. And they take the ghost trap. So now that they have the ghost trap.
I kind of respect a movie that's like, okay, we're just still going to give like the scariness of a, you know, almost like a Spielberg thing where it's like, we're still going to be kind of scary.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
It's still for kids.
Kids love getting scared.
They do. So I kind of like that they still put that in there, because like, you know, the first Ghostbusters was a little scary. Yeah. But a lot of kids watched it, but also it felt like the jokes were like not for kids though.
Oh,
this, I feel,
yeah.
Yeah.
Keymaster and Gatekeeper is not for children.
Mm-mm.
They do the same thing in this movie pretty well, yeah. I'd say. And so now they have one of the ghost dogs, which means Carrie Coon is now free and awake. And she is now riding along with Phoebe in her car as they run off. They're trying to keep the ghost trap away from the other ghost dog, because if that ghost trap opens up, that ghost dog will come out and Gozer will be physical again. Right. I'm getting excited over here.
Uh-oh.
So they're escaping. Phoebe, like, this part was fucking awesome as shit. Phoebe's in the ecto cooler, and the mom's like, there's all this shit is happening. It's so scary. And then Phoebe's like, wait, mom. She opens up the door. She comes out of the thing. She fucking shoots her gun.
That shit's dope as fuck.
It looks dope as fuck. And then she gets back in, and it's like, fuck, Phoebe is cool as fuck. She's like collected. And Carrie Coon's like, oh my God, Phoebe, you're. And she's like, I'm a scientist, mom. I'm like, fuck yeah, you are. Hell yeah. Cool. So they get back to the farm. They spring the trap for Gozer, but it doesn't work.
Oh no.
It doesn't go off. It doesn't work at all. And then one of the ghost dogs is left free, possesses cop girl, and then Gozer is physical once more, and they start like shooting lightning everywhere, and it looks like everyone's gonna die. And then you got your Dan Aykroyd, you got your Winston, and you've got Bill fucking Murray.
Oh my God.
And Bill Murray says, he's like, have you missed us? As if he's talking directly to the audience, but he's really talking to Gozer. Uh-huh. And they're just like, it's just a bunch of old guys, and they just start, they cross their streams as they did in the first movie, and they, you know, don't respect Gozer's pronouns whatsoever. Just keep calling them a lady.
Got it.
Gotta love it.
Yep.
And
sounds old school. Yep.
And then, but that doesn't help, you see.
Oh.
Gozer's too strong.
Okay.
But Phoebe, she's a scientist, and she shoots Gozer with the gun.
She's the fourth one.
She does it individually, but then she feels a presence. She feels a hand on her.
Uh-huh.
And she looks up. When you know it, this movie isn't above bringing dead actors back to life. You got a CG Harold Ramis there.
No. I was like, they could get away with it and it'd be clean.
Nope.
They had like a great out. Mm.
Nope. Got CG Harold Ramis.
How's it look?
It honestly doesn't look that bad.
Well, he's like a ghost version,
right? He is
right?
A ghost, so it helps.
Yeah, that does help. That's a smart way of doing it.
But still weird. But yeah, it makes it a little better because like the director, like I'm assuming the Jason Reitman.
There's
knew.
A lot of like...
Harold
Ramis stuff going on, so maybe that's cool. But yeah, I mean, they did the best they could, I guess.
I think that this is probably the best example.
I think also, if I could be continue talking, but I think maybe he signed off on coming in, but then he passed away. I think
I don't think that's the truth, but maybe.
No, you're right. Nope,
there's
right.
No way. I feel like this movie was definitely written.
Wait, no, third Ghostbuster film is in development since the release of Ghostbusters 2, but the production stalled because Murray didn't want to come to the series, and then Harold Ramis died, and then he's like, oh, okay.
But is this the third one? Is this the one that's been in development hell?
Because then they produced the, it has, apparently.
Wow.
That's
shocking.
And then the reboot came out, and, you know,
this movie
work.
Feels 20 years too late. Like, this movie really should have come out, like, 20 years ago.
It does feel like an older, you know what, it kind of reminds me of a weird way? The Mummy a little bit.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I don't know, something about like going in the bottom
the
there and like got like an unkillable creature in the mines, and there's literally a mummy person in there.
I see that.
You got the goofy sidekick with kids, but it kind of has kind of a feel like that in some ways. I don't know.
I believe it. I agree with it. So with the energy and the might of old and new, of old Ghostbusters and one dead one, and the new Ghostbusters, these kids,
they all have packs?
They all have got packs. They all have got guns. And all of them together defeat Gozer. And they are slain. They are captured.
Uh-huh.
They are defeated. And then that's basically the end of Gozer.
Oh, okay. At the end of the movie, I'm like,
no,
there's
not
like
yet.
Some wrapped up
stuff. There's one other thing. There's two other things.
Okay.
Okay? One is best scene in the movie.
Okay.
So... while all this has been happening, podcast has been defeating tiny little
marshmallow guys.
They're
still there.
So yeah, they're menace. And podcast comes out of the ecto cooler and is covered in marshmallow, just like at the end of the first movie.
Oh yeah,
and
love my references
exactly. And Dan Aykroyd sees this and he's just like, marshmallow guys, eh? Yeah, that happens all the time. And podcast is like, hey, my name is podcast and. I make a podcast, and he talks about his podcast, and Dan Aykroyd's like, oh, I listen to your podcast. And podcast is like, you're my only listener? And he's like, yeah, you really got into your own in episode 45.
He did make a joke that he does find his voice in episode 45.
And I thought this was charming as fuck. I was like, I'm happy for you, podcast. You made it.
Aw.
And then you got your E.T. moment where Carrie Coon hugs Ghost Egon. And everyone sees Egon hugging his daughter. And then Egon dissipates into the air. And it's seriously, like, I want to, like, match the editing to the end of E.T. Because it's literally, like, everyone is watching. They're all crying. You see Egon looking at his daughter. And then he just, like, dissipates into the sky. Uh-huh. And she, like, looks up into the sky. It's literally like the end of E.T.
Okay.
And then a caption pops up and it says, For Harold.
For Harold, baby.
And then that's the end of the movie.
Wow.
And then the credits start rolling. And you got all your names. You uh-huh. got your, you know, your Jason Reitmans. You got your Finn Wolfhards.
Yeah.
And then it says, with Sigourney Weaver. I'm like, Sigourney Weaver wasn't in my half of the movie.
Yeah, I don't think Sigourney Weaver was in my half of the movie.
And then mid-credits sequence. You got Sigourney Weaver. And she's doing the test. Remember in the first movie, the introduction of Bill Murray, where he's torturing his male students and coming on to his lady students?
Yeah.
She's doing the same test to him. And every time he answers, she just zaps him no matter what. And he says, I used to do this to only my male students. And Sigourney Weaver's like, you're a fucking pig, and zaps him again. And then the credits just keep going.
Okay.
And then, you know, you got your names. You got your names of your...
one, too.
No.
Oh.
You got your names of, you know, your VFX artists. You got your names, your special thankses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your Sony, mm-hmm. you know, and then the credits are done.
See, there was another scene.
And then.
Okay. I've seen a movie that was made past 2016. A big budget movie.
You have a scene from one of the original Ghostbusters. I think it might be a deleted scene of Egon giving... he's being gifted a World's Fair coin by the secretary. The, hey, Ghostbusters, what do you want? So she's still alive, and she is visiting Winston. Winston is a very successful, business person.
Yeah, what happened to him, yeah.
He's very successful, good made a lot him. Of money. And he basically, like, pays the rent for Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah,
I don't know why these two.
That makes sense.
Honestly, don't know why these two are meeting. I don't know where they're meeting. I know they're meeting at his like they're meeting at his corporation, but I don't know why they're meeting.
Uh-huh.
But then we intercut between them talking about what it was like to be Ghostbusters, and then we see him, and he's in the abandoned firehouse, and it looks like he's gonna open it up again. Looks like he's gonna finance the future of the Ghostbusters. And then as he's turning on all the lights and turning on all the equipment, there's one piece of equipment that I think is supposed to be like, hey, there's a ghost, and it's going off.
Oh.
And that's the end of the movie.
The end of the movie, huh? Okay.
Yeah, and then another thing comes up. It says, go see the Ghostbusters. And then there's a Stay Puft Marshmallow graphic.
What's happening? This is not ending.
And then...
Oh, no, there's more?
No, there's no more.
Okay. I feel like I'm like in limbo, like I'm just falling, like the watching movie. The credits in my head as you describe this, and I'm just like, when does it end? It's like Lord of the Rings credits.
Never does.
Oh my God.
And that's the end of that's the end of Ghostbusters Afterlife. Wow. And it was pretty fucking cute.
Yeah, you know what?
I liked it.
I liked this movie.
I like it too. I was pleasantly shocked. I was.
Yeah, you were dreading it.
I was. Yeah. Ethan will tell you. I was.
You looked up. We delayed this podcast because you were like, I can't fucking deal with this fucking movie
right
now.
I was like fucking 10 minutes in. I'm like, this is bullshit. I don't fucking care. And then the minute Paul Rudd is in Walmart, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty funny. And then I meet.
I mean, yeah, you were on the right in the action part, so yeah. You can't really like.
And then I meet
like,
podcast in earnest. And I'm like, I fucking love this kid. This kid's going places. Have him on our podcast.
Yeah.
I love podcasts. Podcast this isn't even ironic. I love podcasts.
No, he's a cool character.
He's
I like
great.
Him a lot.
Well, he's in the cop. He's in the police station. And everyone's like, okay, we got ghosts to deal with. And then he's like, podcast, you even listening? He's like, we're in a police station.
Yeah. He's very excited about like where he's at. He's super excited to go to Phoebe's house. Like, you live in Dirt Farmer's house?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to record this in case you explode when you go inside. Like, because it's so haunted or whatever.
He fucking rocks.
Yeah, he's a fun character. Did fucking Trevor get with his lady friend?
No.
Good.
Because he's too young.
Yeah. Good.
It almost felt like they were trying to get to that, but I'm like, The movie's very clearly established that he's too young to be with her.
Yeah, that's good.
So they're going to wait until the next one.
The sequel, yeah.
Seems which weird
is
because...
which is already announced to come out next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly?
All right.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, you know what? This is a good little reboot. You know? I do think this is a cool way of doing fan service without being like super annoying about it. Like, it didn't feel like I was out of the jokes. It was just like, oh, they're picking up something and looking at it. Okay. But they don't make like a thing of like, oh, whoa, this is wild. Yeah. Except for when they're like literally watching like old footage, which is like, that makes sense in a lore perspective, you know?
The fan service definitely felt like you're eating your vegetables at certain points.
To be fair, you did get to the meat of the fan service.
I did. I got to the
literal actors there while I literally didn't see anyone's face.
It was great when it wasn't happening. And when it was happening, I'm like, you know what? The last movie, fans didn't like it. So this movie felt like they really had to lay it on
thick.
But all those other moments... There was one moment that felt weirdly, like, sinister, where, like, so they brought Harold Ramis back. Harold Ramis and Bill Murray didn't speak for most of their lives after making, what's the name of the movie? Groundhog Day. Because Bill Murray was going through a divorce, it was a very tough time for him, Harold Ramis just wanted to make a fucking movie, and then after the making of the movie, they were, like, not friends anymore.
I mean, that's why it sounds like he didn't want to return to the series.
Right, exactly. And then basically they didn't speak up until like Harold Ramis like died. So it seemed like they were not on good terms up until like the very end.
Maybe that is why he showed up. He's like, oh, that guy's fucking dead. I can go work now.
And then, right. But then there's this weird scene where you see like Harold Ramis as a ghost and like they keep cutting to like Bill Murray. And I'm just like, I don't like this feeling. Like this feels weird. This feels a little bit weird.
Well,
but
his character
whatever.
Would still like him, right?
No,
like,
it's true.
I mean, it makes sense.
I think that like Bill Murray apologized. He's just like, you know what? I was being an absolute fucking shit and I should have treated my friend that way like in the by the end of it all and
maybe
so this sort of felt like a weird thing of going like, well, now you can apologize to your dead friend in front of a camera
via CG ghost which is a little weird, but maybe it's cathartic. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of regrets if you know someone just dies.
It really does help that it's directed by like the son who made the original Ghostbusters.
That really
movie.
Does go a long way of it's making not, this not feel as icky as it could have.
It's not made. Yeah, it's not made by some fucking person that had no connection to it.
Yeah,
you know, it feels nice. So yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, you know what?
Sue me.
It was a fun little romp.
Yeah.
It was a fun little romp. I was very surprised by it.
I'm excited for the new one.
It's not like groundbreaking cinema, but I think in terms of popcorn flicks, pretty fun.
Great.
And honestly, cool shots. Like I like.
Yeah, it was really well shot.
A lot of the action scenes were pretty fun and energetic.
It's crazy that Jason Reitman's just been like sitting on this ability to actually shoot like action.
I know.
Because like he's made like young adult. He made.
Well, he didn't want to. It didn't seem like something he wanted to do.
Yeah,
he's like,
but
all
he
right,
can
I'll fucking
do it.
Yeah.
And maybe he does it well.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, I could do that. I don't like it, but I can do it sort of thing.
It's great. I'm honestly excited to see this. It seems stupid to say, but I'm excited to see this series continue because I want to see these actors grow up.
I do. Here's the thing.
Turn into adults.
Here's the thing I'm worried about.
What?
This is going to be a...
Stranger Things.
No. Not going to be Stranger Things. I think it's going to be a Force Awakens Last Jedi situation because at this point they're going to hand off everything.
Oh, no.
They're going to hand off everything to a new cast.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be like, which my new characters fucking
but
suck?
At least they got...
Maybe.
Maybe. But at least they got all the fan service out of the way.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's true, but that's why they're going to get upset in the new one, because it's not going to have any fan service.
Oh, God. And then, oh, my God. It's and then the next one after that will be just like...
Like, fucking ghost of Bill Murray will show up, because they killed him off in the second one.
Because he's dead in real life.
No.
These actors are old.
They are old, but I don't think he'd be dead in real life. But, like, he just comes back as a ghost, because he's like, oh, I'm back, because somehow.
Yeah, somehow I'm back. Yeah.
This ghost stuff, you know, it's just like, I don't know. This is obviously a speculation, but that's my thought. What did you think of the special effects on the movie?
They were great. Some of the ghost effects were a little bit bad.
But I kind of liked the badness because it matched the badness of the first one.
Well,
honestly, a lot of the effects, like the way the laser shot and everything, I'm like, oh, okay, they got that.
Yes. And there were some obvious physical effects, which was nice.
Yeah, there was quite a bit.
Yeah, which was nice.
It felt like it was just when they needed to, they used it, which is smart. I think they did a smart job on that.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Yeah, that was good. I liked it. I liked this movie. I'm just as surprised as all of you guys are.
Mike, do you like this better than the first movie?
That's really tough. First one's shorter.
This one is 2 hours long. The first one's
there's
shorter.
Aspects I like in both. I don't know.
Yeah, there
They're
are
about
like
the same,
plus
honestly.
And minuses in both of them. But yeah, I think you're right.
But that's the thing is I wasn't fucking raised in the 80s. I didn't have a little fucking proton pack running around.
Yeah, or your little ecto toy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, it's hard for me to like, I'm sure fans of the original are like whatever, but you know, as a very like.
Yeah, I got into it late. Like, I saw Ghostbusters as a kid, but I also like by then, you know, it was the real Ghostbusters on TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of it.
I watched the Extreme Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I think it works just as well as the first. But that's why I want to see a sequel, because I want to see these kids aged up. I want to see them as like adults. Mm-hmm. And I want to see them being, you know, sarcastic and smarmy. And like,
well, I don't know if you'll see them as adults, because this movie's coming out pretty soon.
Well, but who knows how many of these movies are going to make?
That's true.
Finn Wolfhard's already like fucking 50 years old. This movie was made in 2019 too, remember?
Oh, that's a good point.
So
they get a little age up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point. The what's interesting though is I wonder how, like, if the sequel is going to be just as bad as Ghostbusters 2 though.
Ooh, maybe.
Ghostbusters 2's here's some things, but it's mostly not good.
Here's my question. Will it continue to take place in this tiny town, or are they going to move back to the city?
Because it kind of implies that maybe they are going to, because it sounds like they got the old place started up, mm-hmm. you know, and they're like, oh, we're going to start it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know who is directing the sequel, though.
You look it up. Hey, guys, what do you think about the Ghostbusters series? Email us at email@theotherhalfpodcast.com. Let us know how wrong we are. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter if you want to flame us there as well, if you want to get into a flame war. And if you want to leave a review about how shitty we were, you can find us on any podcatching app. Leave a review there, and if it's a 5-star rating but a bad review, we'll read it on the show. So you know, just leave a 5-star rating, but say like, these guys don't fucking know shit about Ghostbusters.
Oh, that'd be a great
they
one.
They kept saying it was Ecto Cooler, and actually, it's called this.
Well,
yeah.
So it is going to take place in New York.
I knew it.
It doesn't say who exactly is in it. It's just an early development, and apparently, it's going to come out then. Because I guess that's the new thing, right? You announce your film is going to come out at a time, so people get hyped for it way in advance.
And then you start writing it.
Instead of like, you know, come up with an idea and then pitching it. It's the opposite way of writing things now.
Exactly. Nobody does that.
There's also going to be apparently an animated film.
Really?
Made by Sony Pictures, who makes great animation. So, I mean.
They do.
So, yeah. might be kind of good.
We'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
But yeah, that's interesting. So they,
but they don't know, like, are they? They don't know if any of the original cast is going to return.
Aykroyd has expressed interest in having the surviving class.
Fucking anything.
I know, he can do whatever he wants, whatever.
Aykroyd was in fucking Yogi Bear, the movie. He voiced Yogi Bear.
I thought that was T.J. Miller.
T.J. Miller was in that movie, but he didn't voice Yogi the Bear.
Oh, I didn't remember who voiced Yogi the Bear.
Yogi the Bear, voiced by Dan Aykroyd. Boo Boo, voiced by Justin Timberlake.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a disaster.
Maybe we should watch the podcast. Good night, everybody.
Hey guys, if you want to join some other like-minded fans of this podcast, you can check out our Discord, which can be linked in the latest podcast going forward, as well as theotherhalfpodcast.com.
If you wanted to discuss movies we've watched on the podcast, if you want to recommend movies for future episodes, or if you want to watch movies, we'll have movie nights on the Discord. You can pop in, watch the movies with us and other fans of the podcast.
There's also a section on the Discord where if you want to, you can learn more about my Twitch stream. But, you know, you don't have to if you don't want to. It could be purely about the podcast.
But if you do want to, it's really great. And sometimes I'm on stream too, every other Thursday. Check it out. We play horror games specifically. You can get notified whenever a new podcast episode or whenever Ethan's live on Twitch, which is pretty often. You get to see our pretty faces, as well as other people that like the podcast and watch Ethan stream.
Yeah, so come join.
The Discord is your oyster, guys.
Do whatever you want with it.
The Discord is your oyster.